There is no one like you, Lord. No wonder we gather like this to give honor and praise to Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What an awesome God you are. We bless you, and we at Destiny will always keep on lifting high the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good to see you. Why don't you take your seats, please? And for all of you watching us online this morning as well, you are joining a really wonderful, hearty, big bunch of people here at Destiny Church for the first of our two services. And soon we'll get rid of this lot and we'll have the second lot in as well. And the third lot watching us. So thank you very much. Pastor Ben would be here today, but he's stuck in Lapland. Bad weather. Grounded his plane yesterday with their family. So we pray they get back pretty soon as well, yeah? Good to see you. How many of you are glad that you're here? Yeah, me too. There's no place that I would rather be. Today we're talking about love never fails. That's a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. And it just says, love never fails. It's coming in that great chapter about love where it talks about love is. And then at the end of that, it says, love never fails. And then it goes and starts to talk about things that do fail. But in the middle of that, it's like a fulcrum. It's like a balancing point. Did you get that? It's a balancing point. And the balancing point is this, that God's love, talking about God there, never fails. And then in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says this, God is saying to his people, I have loved you with a short-term love. That's the reversed version again. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Oh, hell, I love it when you respond like this. Keep going. Yeah, we'll pay you on the way out. And you could try paying us from home as well, or the other way around, yeah. And I have drawn you. Love is always attractive. How many of you know that? Why do you think I'm married to Rachel? Is she attracted me? I mean, You ought to have seen her when she was 18. Here she is. It's no wonder love drew me. And the Bible says that I have drawn you. God is drawing us with loving kindness. And we're all here today because of the loving kindness of God. We're all born with a need to be loved. You know, if I were to say, put your hand up if you don't need to be loved, you'd be lying to me, wouldn't you? We all need to be loved. And we all need something or someone, really, to love. Though it's an exchange. We need to be loved and we need to be able to love. Then it brings some sort of balance. So it was Valentine's Day this Wednesday, and I guess all of you ladies got red roses and chocolate, yeah? And you... No. Come on, I took you out for dinner. McDonald's is dinner, isn't it? And guys, what did you get? I don't know what. Yeah, you probably got a list of jobs that she wants you to do. So Adam, as in Genesis Adam, the first man, Adam, was out very late for a few nights and he came home and he was very upset. You've been running around with other women, she lectured him. He said, honey, come on. He says, you're the only woman on earth. How can I? The quarrel continued until Adam fell asleep, only to be wakened by a very strange pain in his side, and it was his darling Eve poking him rather rigorously about his torso. He woke up and said to Eve, what do you think you're doing? She said, I'm counting your ribs. Think about it. Life has taught us that it can be painful to have loved and then had somebody reject your love. Life has taught us many things. Not everything that life teaches us is good. And if you felt rejected in love or hurt in love and love was not good as you thought it was going to be, that's when sometimes people, they withdraw and they shut up the doors and they start to put their love and their affection into things rather than people. They love their garden, they love sport, they love their pet, or perhaps even they love themselves. But the truth of it is that no matter how hard it has been for you or for me in a situation of where we felt rejected in love, whether that is something as intimate as a marriage or whether that is friendship or whether that's in church, the truth of it is that God's love never fails. We used to sing a song that says, He's never failed me yet and He never will. You see, God's love is, and if you were to read it in that chapter, and I recommend that you do it, God's love is, and this is how we should love, but God's love, true love, can we call it that? True love. Say true love.
True.
Not this stuff that sometimes people call love, but true love. True love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. It's not happy over injustices. That is true love. So when you end up with somebody who is short-tempered and is not kind and is really jealous and is very boastful and is really rude and is totally narcissistic and is really angry, guess what? That is not. It's not true love. Because God represents to us true love. And how patient has He been with you and me? Awesome, isn't it? How kind has He been to us? How wonderful has He been? Does He keep a record of wrongs for us? Does He say, I'm not going to have you because? No, He opens His arms to us and He receives us and He blesses us. God wants to touch us, show us, and reveal to us His. The Bible calls it, when it says that God is love, the word there is agape. It's the love of God, the agape love. There's three different words that are used for love in the Bible, and this one, agape love, is the biggest. It's a God love. It's a pure love. It's not an eros love, which like, you know, a sexual type love, or even a filial love, which is like a brotherly love. This is a God love. It's agape love. I thank God that we are loved today with an agape love. Amen. See, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, 17, so we know and we rely on the agape love that God has got for us. God is love. That's a statement. Whoever lives in that love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete amongst us so that we will have confidence at the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. What an awesome verse. I mean, there's so much packed in that, isn't there? You know, we'd take the next 6 months picking out that word by word by word and go through that. There's so much. You know, we know the love of God. We rely on the love of God. We live in the love of God. God lives in us. And love is made perfect in us. And we're confident at the day of judgment. You know, have you ever been pulled over by the police when you've been driving? Okay, I'm the only person in this who's ever been pulled over, and you have these blue lights going, and he pulls in front of you, and the minute that you saw the cop car behind you, you think like, MOT, did I do it? Insurance, did I pay it? Speeding, was I going too fast? You know, and it's like, I'm guilty before it comes to the window. But thank God Rachel took care of the MOT and the insurance and everything else, and we were okay. But what I'm saying is that in that, when we stand before God, you could find, oh no, but the love of God covers us and we stand confident in that day of judgment. You see, God's love never fails, never. Oh, and by the way, never will. There is no thing that you can do that will make him turn his back on you, cross you out on a list. You know, sometimes we go through our diary or our directory at home, you know, of all the people, and we go cross, cross, cross. You know, they're dead. They should be dead. don't you try and work out who I was thinking of. But, you know, you do it, don't you? And your list shrinks, and then you think like, oh, no, but then we've got a new extended bunch of people, and it's like, well, I just want to tell you something. God will never, ever cross you off his directory. He loved you then, he loves you now, and he always will, because love never fails. You can walk away from God. You can You can even blaspheme against his name, as it were. You can be in a situation where you say, God, you failed me, and I failed you, but God's love still stays. I don't understand how God can have such a great love, but he does, because love never fails. Jesus will never, ever cross you off his list. And we find ourselves, the Bible says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we find ourselves loving because he first loved us. We don't say, oh, look at what a great loving guy I am. You know, I've got this capacity to love people. I don't have a capacity to love people any more than anybody else does, except for the fact that his love inside us gives us a greater capacity to love. Gives us a greater capacity to love people. Gives us a greater capacity to love people who've made mistakes. Gives us a greater capacity to love in the way that Jesus loves. That agape love. God wants to give us something of that agape love in our hearts. And then the verse carries on. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, is a liar. That's pretty straightforward stuff, isn't it? Don't say the Bible is complicated and obscure. No, it's very straightforward. You liar. That's what it is. It's saying that for anyone who does not, coming back to the verse, who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God who he has not seen. And God has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So you gotta love me. In the name of Jesus. And it's not only about, this love never fails thing, it's not only about God loving me and me loving God or you loving God. He wants to extend that. You know, there's page two. And the page two, if you like, in this message is that we then ought to love one another. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You know, oh yes, I love everybody, but you never, ever, ever show love in actions or in real truth. Well, there's a question about that, isn't there? When it's all about me. No, love is me extending my life towards you, you extending your life towards me, us extending our care and our compassion and our generosity towards one another. You know, in Dear Destiny this week, I wrote a little piece about how thrilled we were to see so many people starting to invite people out for coffee, back for home, taking meals into people who are not very well, making phone calls, sending cards. And I go, yes, it's working, brothers and sisters. Well done. You are becoming the best loving church ever. And so we should be, because we're the best family ever. And we need to love one another, the Bible says. Hallelujah. See, John chapter 3, verse 16, that so well-known verse says this, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's the key. When you love, you give. When you love, you give, and when you give and you forgive. Those things work together. When God loves, he gave his only son who came to forgive you. When God loves you, you also will be in a place, me too, where we give and we forgive. The thing that puts up barriers between people is unforgiveness. And unforgiveness basically hurts you more than it does the other person that you're unforgiving. The Bible says that we should love and we should give and we should forgive. See, that's what it says. He gave his only one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. That's the outworking of forgiveness. I want you to look now with me, and if you can look at the screens, or if you've got a Bible, you can turn to it. Psalm 136, and this is where you're going to have to work with me on the sermon. Is that all right? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Say yes again.
Yes.
Say yes louder.
Yes.
Okay. Now we've got to do it at that volume. Is that all right? So, in every one of these verses, there are 26 verses in Psalm 136. The second part of the verse says this: His love endures forever. Can you say that? Okay, that's not quite as loud as the yes, so let's stick with me, and if you dip down in volume, I'm going to encourage you like a choir conductor. Is that all right? We'll go through the verses then. Verse 1 of 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So every time you say that phrase, think about this. Love never fails. His love endures forever. Will you do that? Okay, verse 2 says, give thanks to the God of gods.
Hallelujah.
Do you notice that? It's the capital G, G for God, and small g for gods. because they ain't really gods. There's only one God, isn't there? And we love him, and his love endures forever. Verse 3 says this: give thanks to the Lord of Lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. That's our creator. Don't go for any of this nonsense of this other unproved theories that people keep putting around. There is a clear truth in the word of God, and I believe it, that God created the heavens and the wonders and all that sort of stuff. Verse 6, who spread out the earth upon the waters? Who made the great lights? I think the psalmist has got an idea here that he's punching out the idea of the creator God, don't you? And he's not ashamed of it, and neither should we be. Verse 8, the sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His love
endures forever. That's the whole story about coming out of Egypt and with Moses. And verse 11, and brought Israel out from amongst them.
His love endures forever.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
So this is all about the story now of the children of Israel, because now we're going on to with a mighty hand and an outstretched verse 12. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
His love endures forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. You're like, well, how can that be love? Well, I tell you what, when you stand up against God, there's something called judgment. Even in this day, there will come a day of judgment. We talked about it earlier, didn't we? That we're going to have no fear of judgment. They stood against the people of God. They stood against God's plan. And the judgment of God came against those armies. And there is still a day of reckoning that is coming. Oh, I'm glad I'm on the right side of that judgment. Amen?
Amen.
And verse 16, to him who led his people through the desert.
His love endures forever.
Verse 17, who struck down great kings.
His love endures
and killed mighty kings.
His love endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
His love endures
forever. Now, he's listing a bunch of people here who were significant in their day. Maybe in our day we could talk about... Oh, I don't know, I could get into trouble now, couldn't I? Struck down Saddam Hussein. Struck down Putin. Struck down, I don't know, I'm stopping now. Of Og, king of Bashan.
His love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His love endures forever.
An inheritance to his servant Israel.
His love endures forever.
Oh, hallelujah. God is wanting to give the earth and the fullness thereof as part of our inheritance. Verse 23, to the one who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
You notice the word one there, it's got a capital O. It's referring to God himself. It's not your neighbor who brought you a cup of tea. Thank God for that. But actually there is one. The one who said, I am. That one, the God himself, who remembered us when we were in our low estate, when we were down in trouble. Verse 24, and he freed us from our enemies. Come on, there's only two more, so keep the volume up with me. Verse 25, and who gives food to every creature. He is the ultimate food bank. Verse 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. That is our God. And has love endures forever. You get the idea that God's love never fails. It never has, it never will. God's love is an awesome thing. You see, and then coming back to the thing I was just talking about before we read that, in John chapter 13, verse 35, it says this, a new command I give to you, love one another. In that same way, so that we can declare the love of God. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I don't have a problem with the romance of Valentine's, but I have a problem when people think that that is what love is. because that is at best infatuation, you know, and it's like fickle and it's just surface, and it's, you know, real love is the love that God has for us. And it is that love that God wants us to have for one another. And it's with that love that we need to reach out to the world in which we are living. There are people tomorrow who are not loved, don't know what love is, have been broken in love, who've been rejected in love, and we need to walk into their lives and speak and show the love of Jesus Christ, showing concern to them. How is it? How are you? You know, just, can I pray for you? Bringing them go and buy them a sandwich for lunch and give it to them and, you know, bless them. Do something. Find a way to show the love, because in a world that is really hurting, we can bring the love of Jesus Christ by loving not just the family of God. It's pretty easy to love the family of God here, because we're all just such wonderful people, aren't we? Yes, Ian. But sometimes it's difficult to love people who are, we think, unlovely, or not part of our set, or not part of our culture or social standing. God doesn't talk about social standings and set. He talks about people and every person. We have a saying at Destiny where everybody is precious. See, in Psalm 86, it says this: "For great is your love towards me. You are a compassionate and gracious God. You're slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Oh, what an awesome God he is. He's just an awesome God, isn't he? So here we come. This is where I'm heading towards the landing strip and saying to you, God's love never fails. He has never failed you. He never will. God's love is awesome. It's not a love that's based on your performance. It's based on his decision. Sometimes, you know, we think we can buy love, and people try and do that with gifts, and you can't buy God's love. You receive it. You can't earn it. You receive it. There's nothing that you can do that puts you in a better position to receive God's love than just coming to him and receiving it. God so loved you, he gave so that he could forgive, so that you could go free. And all as we do is we receive God's love. But in the same way then, and this is the challenge to us, we then ought to love one another, especially in the family of God. But we also need to reach out to our neighbors, to our work colleagues, to our family with the love of Jesus, and let them never wag a finger at us and say, well, they're the meanest people on earth, but let them open their hands towards us rather than wag their finger at us and say, those guys, there's something special about those guys, how loving they are, how generous they are, how giving and forgiving they are, is because of the love of Jesus Christ that is in them. Amen? That's the church that we want to be. That's the Christian that we need to be. We need to show the world that we're Christians because of our love, our agape love, showing the love of God to people, because God is wonderful, isn't he? Aren't you glad for God's love? You know, it might have been some while since you've really felt God's love. God wants you to feel his love. He wants you to experience his love. You might be sat at home and you're saying, well, I don't feel God's love. Well, God wants to have an engagement with you today. He wants to have it right now. In a moment, we're going to sing a song, and I'm also going to pray for you. God wants to touch you so that you feel his presence. God's presence is here in the building, is with you wherever you're watching it. Whatever's going on in your life, you might be in a happy moment. You might be in a troubling moment. You might be in a difficult time. God is with you. He's with you. He's with you guys on the band. He's with me and never leave us. Did he say, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you? That's what he said. I never will. And he's not just there watching. He's there with open arms. He's there to give. He's there to forgive. He's there to bless. He's there to help you to feel safe and secure. The everlasting arms of God are the expression of his love towards you. I'm going to ask you, would you please be willing to stand with me? And why don't you take a moment and just, I don't know, you might even want to lift your hands towards God and say, touch me again with an understanding of your love. Touch my heart, Lord, help me to understand how much you love me. Just allow the Holy Spirit to come and touch you. Touch you. Just to fill you. When love comes, peace comes. When love comes, joy comes. When love comes, security comes. When love comes and you start to live out of that love. Oh, just let go of that anxiety and let God's love turn that anxiety into peace. Just let go right now of some of the stuff that has been really troublesome for you. And let God bring a new hope. In the name of Jesus, may you feel new peace, new joy, a new closeness to God, a new closeness from God to you. The Bible says if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. God wants to show His love, give you His love again, touch you. Oh, can you feel those loving arms around you right now? He says to you, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. Oh, hallelujah. For some of you, either here in the building or watching us as well, maybe you've never experienced the love of God. Maybe you're not a Christian. You're not sure that you're a Christian. Well, today can be your day of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Think about it just in this next moment. We'll come back and we'll chat to you in just a second. But to begin with, as you just experience the love of God, let the love of God just overflow into your hearts now as these guys sing this song. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
It's constant in the trial and the change.
One thing remains.
One thing remains.
Oh, one thing remains.
One thing remains. 'Cause your love never
fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me.
Never
gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love.
You know, God's love will never fail, it will never run out on you. If you just needed to have had that moment in God's presence, well, hallelujah, that His love will never run out on you. Spend time every day to experience and receive His love. If maybe you're stood here this morning or watching, you've never really come through to a place of personal faith, maybe this is your day to say, I want to become a Christian. This is my day to say, this day is the day that I come to Jesus Christ and give Him my life. Is there anybody here that would like to make that choice, that decision? If there is, why don't you just give me a wave in your hand so I know you're making that choice today. Is there anybody? Thank you, lady. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else? Anybody else looking around? Just give me a wave. If there's somebody, say, I need to become a Christian today. Make sure of that. And you join this lady who's already made a choice. If you're watching at home, you can write it in the chat or send me an email, ian@destinychurch.co.uk. We'll include you as well. Is anybody else? Come on, let's sing it again, and then the Lord bless you. Go and enjoy His love.